Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com, prayerprescriptions.com, and author of the Prayer Prescription series, and I'm the host of the show. My guest today is astrology's astrologer, Sheila Odette. We will be discussing and focusing in on the state of the primary election this evening, as well as other points of interest. And I want to touch upon the hackers who are revealing the deep trouble that the Clinton campaign is about to face or is facing as we speak. Why doesn't the mainstream media touch upon these breaking stories? Joining me now is Sheila Odette. Hello, dear Sheila. Hello? Hello, Sheila. She probably dropped off the show, and she will be back in a second. So why isn't the mainstream media touching upon these very important stories? Here she is.
Am I
Hello,
here?
Hello, dear Sheila. Yes, you are. I think you dropped off somehow. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I
can
hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Oh, okay, good. I was worried there. I just got hacked this week.
I'm having some strange technological challenges, actually. It's weird.
I know. I just got my whole thing got hacked this week. Everybody was calling me, telling me. The hacking thing is really unbelievable, really, you know?
Oh, good, good, good. I'm glad you know something about it. It's quite interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody is calling me all over the country, telling me, you know, that they were talking to me, and I said, no, you aren't talking to me because I'm down at the shore working, and I'm not even, you know, there. So,
I know, it's like,
I'm sorry to laugh, but I guess it's really not funny, you know. That it's very personal, that people are breaking into people's personal things like that, you know. It feels like an invasion. It feels like, you know, like somebody's breaking into your house or something.
Yeah. Now, you do understand, though, that Hillary Clinton's server was not hooked up to the State Department. So, therefore, she was vulnerable. She was vulnerable to hacking. She opened herself up to hacking, and the Russians have her emails, and probably China, and probably, even North Korea may have her nuclear code, because all of the satellites were up there on her private server, which was stuck in her basement. Now, you know, as you know, and as you've said many times, Hillary has a problem with secrecy, and she didn't want anybody to know what she was doing. And the reason why she would have done this is because of her dealings with the Clinton Foundation and, you know, doing arms deals with Saudi Arabia and raking in huge amounts of money, not only for her personal self and her family, but then doing business with Saudi Arabia when you claim to be a champion for gay rights and also a champion for women, in and of itself is completely disgusting. So that's my little abbreviated. So these hackers are revealing the stuff that she is hiding. And so I don't see that that's such a terrible thing, because we do need to know what we're up against. The FBI, she's also under FBI investigation, a criminal investigation, because she did not hook her server up to the .gov. And when President Obama said, "Or have you hooked it up?" And, you know, "I don't agree with this server in your basement." And she says, "Oh, no, you know, I've done the right thing," when she didn't. So she's in hot water, and she may not even be the Democratic nominee, because indictments are coming out soon from the FBI. And WikiLeaks, Julian Assange is about to dump a whole bunch of information about Hillary that he's hacked, he's been able to hack. So you see, it's not she has dug her own grave on this one.
Well, that's the Sun in Scorpio, Chiron in Scorpio, Venus in Scorpio, Mercury in Scorpio, the Ascendant in Scorpio is really something, because all of that I just said is in the 12th house, and the 12th house is the house of secrecy.
Oh, that's very
And Mercury in
she
Scorpio,
can't help herself, right?
Mercury in Scorpio is retrograde in that house. So Mercury in Scorpio is keeping, the definition of that is keeping information secret. I mean, that is the definition of Mercury in Scorpio retrograde.
It's amazing.
So in the South Node in Scorpio, what you're saying, the South Node in Scorpio and the North Node in Taurus, is that that symbolizes that I won't be caught, okay? I'm so connected in that I won't be caught. Now, the next planet up after that is Jupiter in Sag, which, of course, is its own sign. I mean, Jupiter's own costume is Sagittarius, which is in the first house, which means it will be revealed in an amazing, huge public way. And that anything that she does, if I had this chart, I would be on the up and up every minute. And
right.
Mars, Pluto, Saturn conjunction in Leo in the ninth house is, you know, that's really, you know, it's an intercepted house again. I always look for three symbols of what you're saying. And so you find, if you find three things in the chart, you go up here and find an intercepted house. An intercepted house is a play within a play within a play. I mean, it's like it's like Man of La Mancha. It's like one play, and then there's another play, and then there's a layer. It's layer on layer on layer. Okay, so that she has that intercepted house, and the Plutonic energy, which rules all of the Scorpio from that house, is very dramatic, very high, and it also means with Mars, Saturn, Pluto, that there is the male energy that's helping her a lot. There's two people involved in it, okay, not just her. So then we're talking about Bill, and if you lay Bill's chart over that, you'll find he's a Leo, and he falls right on top of the Mars, Pluto, Saturn thing. So he's a Leo with a Taurus moon. Now, she has a Pisces moon, which is a lot more slippery. A Pisces moon... can look like, okay, the one side, it's the sign of Jesus as a metaphor. So the one side of Pisces is the side of the Catholic Church. It's like, you know, you have to suffer, you have to confess, you have to give us our money to be saved, all of that kind of stuff. The other side was the side that Jesus was, which was a healer and a miracle worker. And the miracle worker was that if I can do this, and if you believe you can do it, then you can do it too. He said that with every miracle he did.
So that's interesting.
So she can look like a hero in one minute and a victim in another, okay? And that's the kind of environment. The moon, for me, is the environment that you set up around you. So that's the kind of environment that's set up around her. And she has, you know, two fingers of God in the chart. And Vesta is an asteroid if the best way I can tell you the symbol of Vesta is the flame that they write at the Olympics. Everybody has Vesta somewhere. And Vesta is that I'm going to climb all the way up till I get to the top to light that flame. Now, she has Cancer on her gestation point next to Vesta. So she really, really wants to be president. She wants to be save America. She wants to do all that stuff, but she's got all this baggage. It's a lot of baggage.
Yes, she does.
And what means it?
And you know, Bernie has not dropped out of the race. He and has not endorsed Hillary Clinton because he knows what's going on. He knows that this is a serious matter that really anybody under FBI indictment should not be running for president. I don't know why she thought she. Oh, she also believes she's entitled, and she thinks that she's privileged, which most people in that position are. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know that Bernie Sanders is sort of standing in the wings for this whole thing to collapse.
Right. Well, and if we're talking about the consciousness here, people that are running for president, you know, the things that are happening like Orlando and everything, it's the consciousness of the universe that we are looking at, which you know. So December the 21st, right, 2012, is when the Mayan calendar, forgive me, I've been talking all day, the Mayan calendar switched over to the feminine consciousness. So we're dealing here with the consciousness in these candidates. And Donald Trump represents the patriarchal, that consciousness, violence, build walls, shut people out, you're good, I'm bad, we will let you in, we won't let you in, we will be in certain people. He's all that. That's the old consciousness. It's not the new consciousness that's coming in. Hillary is a feminine consciousness. But she's representing, when you talked in the beginning of the show, about the secretive part of the feminine consciousness, about the yin energy that's under the ground. I mean, she has five planets in Scorpio in the 12th house. That's secretive, and that's that whole feminine thing that, somebody in you don't really know what's happening. Now, when we look at Bernie's chart, Bernie is the balancer. Bernie represents love. Now, I don't know if Bernie is going to get in to be president, but what he represents is the loving humanity that comes together, that gives and receives and shares, and he is for the people, and he is for that side of the Pisces energy that's Jesus-like, that's a healer and a miracle worker. So here we have Trump on one side, Hillary on the other side in consciousness, and Bernie in the middle. Bernie's almost like the Libra balance between the two right now. So thank God that Bernie is not dropping out, because he's a big part. If his consciousness drops out, then we're dropping back into the old thing of black and white, male and female, good and bad, right and wrong. He's not about that. He's not about that.
I know.
He's
between two forces that are very much disliked. Nobody likes Clinton and nobody likes Trump, which is very odd. And there you have everybody really
Trump,
does love Bernie.
Because somebody's voting, you know?
Well, those voters have voted him in. Yeah. They voted him in.
It's also bringing up that consciousness of America. That is the underbelly of America. That's what he's bringing up, you know?
Yes, he is.
And people are seeing it. And what happens with that is when we start to look at that kind of at the energy that's going on and we really look at it, it really deepens you in some way. It allows you to really explore the perimeters of your soul. I mean, it's a gateway to certain levels of consciousness. And it's a hard taskmaster that we're looking at here. But through this, we can explore, with the underbelly, we can explore the dark side of politics and the dark side of the anger and the pain and the abandonment and the terror and the loneliness and these aspects of the sacred womb that in our daily lives we usually try to ignore. We don't look at. But here we're going to have to focus on it. We're going to have to look at parts of ourselves and parts of America being the hyper-consciousness that are not yet healed. And if we can look at this as a higher consciousness raising, as a teaching, the pain of this is going to not be the only teacher, but if properly looked at, by certain people, it's going to be the seeds of wisdom and enlightenment and a better government and heal some wounds and find out, you know, and try to heal a lot of stuff that's coming up through...
The money and politics thing is old school. You know, that's the way everybody thinks that you can... The only way you can run for president is to ask for money from the major corporate entities such as...
And then they own you.
Yeah, so that kind of thing has been brought up to the light. And that's not the way that you necessarily have to run for public office. And as a matter of fact, I think we're going to have a whole new generation of people who won't be asking for money from those entities. And there's a lot of people who will be running for public office.
Great leaders of our time could have never got in there, like Lincoln, et cetera, et cetera. Could have never got into office. They didn't have money. Some of the great Americans that would like to run for this office absolutely can't be bought by the corporations and don't have the money, so they can't run. So we basically, they're not even in the race. You know, they're not even around. You know, I really think Joe Biden is a lovely person. You know, I heard him on television today. There's a graciousness and a loveliness about him that you get like from Bernie Sanders. It's there.
Yes,
you know?
He is.
And
Go ahead.
It's okay. Bernie Sanders, you know, is a Virgo, and his sun is in the mid-heaven. He was born at 12:27 p.m., so that puts the sun at the apex, at the top of the chart. It's the highest planet. It's the highest thing in the chart. Now, we're all evolving. You know, in the United States of America, we all say, oh, you're a Leo, you're this, you're that, and that's not true. That's not true. What we are trying to evolve to in our mandala, or our basic astrological chart, is we are trying to evolve to what the sun is in the chart. I call it the God thing. So a lot of times when you do charts, and you do people, and you do their chart, you know, they don't act like a Leo, or they don't act like a Libra. But, you know, Bernie Sanders acts like a Virgo. Mentally, when you look at Virgo, it's an M, so it's mental, physical, emotional, and the glyph that turns in is spiritual. So he is on board mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He's on board in all of those representational systems. And that sun is also connected to a higher force that is the sun is right on top of his midheaven. And his midheaven is in Virgo, okay? So his sun, his midheaven is at 8 Virgo out of, you know, the whole zodiac, and his sun is at 15 degrees of Virgo. And then he has the north node in Virgo, which is connected to the people, and Neptune in Virgo. That connects him to the people with the north node, and Neptune connects him to God and spirituality, or whatever you want to call it. So there you have it. Then he switched his Mercury. The way he communicates, his auditory representational system, is not in Virgo. A lot of times when you look at a chart, the Mercury is in the same sign as the sun. His is in Libra. What did I tell you? He's in here talking about balance. He's in here talking about love. He's in here talking about, college for everyone, free education. He's in here talking about things that will help human beings. Things that will make it easier for education in America, things that will make it easier for the health program, all of these things, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, is in the 10th house. And the 10th house is your bliss work, the bliss work here. And I don't know if he gets in, if he'll get in, if he'll be able to do it, if he won't be able to do it, but God forbid we don't want him to fall out of the race, because that is the consciousness. That is the consciousness that he's bringing to America. No matter where he speaks, no matter if there are 5 people, 30 people, 1,000 people in front of him, each one of those people say that to another person, say it to another person, something, a seed or an ocean, a drop in the ocean or a seed, once it drops, it can go all over the world. So what he's doing right now with this political campaign, and he knows it, What he's doing, his moon in Aries and his Mars conjunct the moon in Aries, is he is in a battle for consciousness. He is in battle to raise the consciousness and the human spirit of America. That's what he's
and
in
the
this
youth,
battle.
And that's how you know. You know it because
well,
the youth is so taken by it.
You know what? Moon in Aries is the youth. Moon Mars conjunction in Aries is the youth. And that's in the fifth house of the youth, of youth. And so of our younger generation, yes, they're taking to him. And yes, I mean, on television now, representationally, you look at, you think you can dance. Let's say, for an example that was on last night, a Next Generation. These kids dance like Nureyev and like main stars in the New York City Ballet, and they're between 8 and 13. You look at the gymnastics, you look at the mathematics, you look at all of these things that people are raising their physicality up, their mentality up. These kids were born with computers in their cribs. They're moving fast. They're moving fast. They're conscious. And Bernie, people should go by the youth because they are all in Bernie's corner.
They're the future of the world. Well, they are the future, and then we need to. And they have been dissed very badly by the Clinton campaign. There's no doubt about that. And to think that those people will vote for her is a joke. They won't.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Election Day is, you know, lands on November the 6th, and it's Scorpio. Mercury conjunct the sun in Scorpio, and that day the moon is in Aquarius, and it's in the first house. So something very unusual could have happened, you know? Something very unusual. But Uranus is still in Aries, and that Uranus in Aries is falling right on top of Bernie Sanders' moon conjunct Mars in Aries.
Wow.
I wonder about that, Kate. I wonder about that, you know? Something.
And what do you think could happen?
Well, what you're saying could very well happen, honey, that things could be exposed. I mean, things are going to be exposed. Certainly things are going to be exposed around Donald Trump because he's a shyster. I mean, that's the way he runs his business. And his son has gone all the way through Gemini. It's gone all the way through Cancer because he was born at 22. He's born at 23 degrees in Gemini. There's 30 degrees in his sign. It's complicated. But the sun progresses through Cancer, and then it crosses through Leo. But August the 16th, it's gone to 0 degrees of Virgo. And when his sun goes to 0 degrees of Virgo, he doesn't know how to handle it because then he's scrutinized. Bernie lives with it, and he knows about it. But Donald, I think when you look in his face right now, he's in over his head, and when he's starting to have his kids run his campaign, he's in real danger because you don't have family. If you're not strong enough not to have family run your campaign, not to get family stuff get entangled there, you're in hot water. You're in deep water. When radio announcers are coming out and say he fired his head political campaign manager because his daughter's husband wanted him to, oops, you go. Everybody somewhere in themselves go, oops, who's in charge?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well,
yeah, they go.
There is a theory out there that Donald Trump really is there for Hillary because a day after he met with Bill Clinton, he agreed to run for president. And I think the whole thing has been a setup for Hillary the whole way through. But Bernie Sanders has been,
Well, the one thing about that is if you do it long enough, you begin to believe it, and everybody else begins to believe it. So first you looked at him, and he was going blah, 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 and saying anything you wanted, and I thought, hey. And I looked at him, I thought, he's saying, hey, this is fun. I'm having fun here, man. People are coming out. Yeah. I can say, he even said if I shot somebody in Center Square, they'd still vote for me, or if I pulled a gun, whatever. But now he's beginning to look, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, this is much more. You can see it. That's the whole Gemini thing that's going on with the moon in Sagittarius that he has. This thing is blown up to a place that I can't even handle it. This thing is serious.
Amazing. Yes.
And I think I think he's trying to say stuff. I think he tries to say stuff to get out of it. Look at his face. When the whole thing came on, when the family was standing there and they said they got rid of the campaign manager, I think that they thought the campaign manager wasn't serious enough, and I don't even think the family took it totally serious until now. I think now they're going,
yes,
we could be in the White House.
Yeah.
And our kids could be in the White House, and da-da-da could be in the White House. So it's now he's going, oh, my God. But, you know, he should not be president, okay?
Yeah, and I don't think he even wants to be. He doesn't want to be.
Well, he's a Gemini.
Too late now. He might have to be.
He's a Gemini, and what he does is he goes, oh, I don't like that country. Let's just go blow them up. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that over there, so let's just build a wall. That's not the way to run a nation.
Oh, no, it is not.
Bernie Sanders is a bridge. You got to be a bridge. Even Obama is a bridge. Obama tries to be a bridge. It's bringing people together. It's building bridges. It's not, oh, my God, we're going to build a bridge, between Mexico. We're going to be able to build a wall. We got to have conversations. Conversations are bridges. And I'm sure maybe his business, he knows how to do strategy. Some people go, well, they say he was bankrupt before. Yeah, he was bankrupt, and he worked his way out of it. He's a corporation strategist, and we don't want that for president.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can talk. I'm sorry. I went off.
Well, it could really well be that he is there for Hillary because he hasn't bothered to raise the money that she has, which she will be, blitzing the TV screens with all kinds of negative ads about him. But the point being is that they're both in big trouble. Him and Hillary, Trump and Hillary are in huge trouble. And they are the most disliked political candidates ever running for president that in modern history, if not in history, period. And what she has done with her server is worse than Nixon ever did with his however many deleted whatevers that he was responsible for. So she is like Richard Nixon on steroids, believe me. It's like unbelievable.
She wasn't, and I don't think she's paying attention. I don't think Nixon was either. I think they felt entitled. I don't think that, that they paid attention. So now, attention has to be paid because now we're in a serious thing. We're in a very serious thing. And I mean the consciousness of the nation, and that's what I'm looking at, the overall consciousness, the feminine consciousness versus the male consciousness it's your truth, my truth, the cold hard truth, and then Bernie Sanders, then you go with the compassionate truth, not your truth, not Trump's truth, not Clinton's truth, not the cold hard truth, but the compassionate truth that works for the people. That's what I believe. And we want somebody in there that works for the people, and that's Neptune. That's Neptune. And, we have some big boys, here that went out, Muhammad Ali could have been president. Muhammad Ali's chart Sun in Capricorn. And it's interesting, down here in Rehoboth, everybody that I've done in the last 2 days have been either the sun or moon in Capricorn. And
that's fascinating.
He has the sun in Capricorn and the moon conjunct Mercury. Mercury in Aquarius is a genius, which Muhammad Ali had. Venus in Aquarius is a genius. And that's that whole thing where he wouldn't go to war and he wouldn't go into service. And it didn't matter about his career. He was into the higher consciousness of humanity.
He had principles. He had principles and convictions. Yeah.
What'd you say?
He had principles and conviction, and he wasn't about to do something that would completely went against what he believed and what he knew to be right. To go into prison.
Want to hear something? You're going to blow your mind. You want to hear something?
What's that? Yeah.
The guy that did the Orlando murder. I'm not saying his name because I won't give it energy.
No.
That's five planets in Scorpio and the midheaven.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Hillary.
Oh, did you just look at that? Did you just notice that, or?
I ran his chart when it happened. He has the moon in Taurus and five things: Sun, Mercury, Pluto, Venus, a midheaven. All that's in Scorpio. It's all secret hiding in Scorpio.
That's crazy.
Moon, yeah. I'm not saying that she's like him. I'm just telling you what that five planets in Scorpio is capable of.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Fascinating stuff.
Scorpio rules murder. Scorpio rules all those things. Now, Prince, who we just lost, he was a Gemini with Mercury in Gemini. His moon was in Pisces, the Jesus, the moon. He had two Mars in Aries and Pluto in Leo. He had a finger of God. And here's what we call a sextile basket, which hardly anybody has in their chart, because it's a very rare aspect where sextiles go all the way around the chart and form a basket. So when he saw something symbolic, or he didn't see the world the way everybody else sees it. He saw it symbolically, and he actually saw the invisible world. And then through the music, he made it visible. You know, similar, you know, the name of the song, Purple Rain, you know, that's the way he saw the rain. That's the way that whole movie, I love that movie, it, you know, was Purple Rain. And how beautiful is that? And
it is beautiful.
But I do my sex house in my cart with purple, and I just really laughed. But
that is funny, Well, what about the Orlando shootings?
Well,
you said you had done the chart on that. You had done some research on that.
12th nightclub that night, the sun was in Gemini, and at 2 a.m., the moon was in Virgo, Jupiter was in Virgo, and the nodes were in Virgo. So, and there was a big square. The square in the center of the chart represents that happening in a closed space, okay? In a space, not an open field or not an auditorium, but a closed space where people couldn't get out. Now, what is interesting about this chart is there are fingers of God in this chart. So, you know, even though the guy was whoever he was somehow... he was somehow used to do that. He was used to do that in order, as soon as a tragedy like that happens, the consciousness of the universe, have you ever noticed, rises, moon in Pisces, you know, the whole, he has the Scorpio water. Have you ever noticed how the consciousness, like after 9/11, rises in the whole world? Everybody is taking flowers out, everybody is loving everybody. And this happened to the gay community, okay?
Yes,
happened
it did.
To the gay transgender community. So put them right up front. And I thought the wonderful thing, not that there was anything wonderful about it, but I thought that the ones that were interviewed, so gracious, so loving, and talking about these people that were murdered, how gracious and loving, and that this person helped everybody, and that, you know, all of that comes up, that love comes up out of this murderous kind of stuff. So, you know, there's two fingers of God in this chart at 2:02 a.m. in the morning. And so, and the Vesta is in one of the gods, which is the Olympic flame, that's what I call it. Vesta raises something to the highest point. And we know that Muhammad Ali, when he was in really bad shape, got all the way up those stairs to light that flame. I always thought that was amazing. It was an amazing thing. So Venus conjunct the sun here on top of each, a conjunction is when two things work together on top of each other down here in the third house. This was some kind of a message to the human race to get it together. to start to bond, to start to love, to not build walls, to not separate, but to accept everybody for their differences. The differentiation of the human race and the way we all love, it's all different. And to begin to do that, because we're in very danger when something like this happens and 49 people give their lives, and the murderer in some way, give their lives to bring something into consciousness. We have to look at it. We have to look at it in that way. That we have to be more loving. We have to be more sharing. We have to, you know, we have to welcome in instead of divide. And that goes with all the church stuff and everything else. I mean, I've been going to a lot of different churches lately, you know, and it's like, what's the division? Everybody believes in a higher power. You know, everybody believes in that. Why do you have to name them one thing and not the other? Why can't you believe in Buddha and Jesus? Why can't you, you know, believe in it all come together in oneness? That's what the ocean is. I'm by the ocean, by the way. That's why I said that.
And also you are talking about Unitarianism. That's exactly what they are into.
But even there, even in the Unitarian Church, I heard separation, you know. Even there.
But, you know, one
thing about the Unitarian, about Kenny Loving Shank and all those people, Joanne Glass and all of them, they could have a fight in church. They could stand up. They could stand up and have a conversation. You can't do that in other churches, and they don't do it there anymore. But, I mean, all of a sudden you would hear Kitty go, no, I don't agree with that. And, you know, and then that other guy, he would go, no, Bob, let's just discuss this. I mean, it would, and a lot of times they didn't agree with Joanne. I mean, Joanne really got in trouble, and she loved it. Unitarians loved it a lot.
And so
did Kitty. So did your mom. She just adored that.
Sure.
You know.
Absolutely.
But it's not differentiation. It's conversation. You know, as Joanne, I would say, oh, my God, that's a judgment. And Joanne would go, no, that's an observation. There's a difference between
a judgment.
There's a difference, Sheila. There's a big difference, okay? The one divides and the other one brings together. And I went, okay, I got that. You know, I got that now. And so I use it. I think that's important. And but I think that this election is very important for the people of the United States of America to begin to raise their consciousness. Now, what you said is really important because I think the teenagers and the young people are. I think the young people are really, really going to raise the consciousness of the whole United States of America.
Yeah, they're very, very dedicated to the movement that has been created out of the Bernie Sanders campaign. So there's a movement, there's a political revolution, and it's their revolution. It's the kids' revolution. It's all of our revolution. And,
well, they've been brought up on computers. I remember when my godchild, well, Sarah, you know, I would be sitting by the computer and I went, no, I don't know what to hit. I'll just hit anything, she'd go. It's not going to break. She'd come over and just hit a key. I mean, they're not afraid, you know?
I got
young Frank, my other godchild, video games. The Nintendo, the magical one, and I would go, how in the world do you know to build that bridge over there? And he would go, you just know, Dot. And I love that. They just know. So they know. And it's not going to work. Hillary's not going to work. Donald Trump's not going to work. Bernie would work. I don't know if he's better off not getting in there, just staying where he is and continue on to raise the consciousness. But I want to tell you, if he wins or he loses, it's a win-win because he's still going to continue. And so is his wife.
Yeah, that's right. And it probably would be whatever works out is we have to understand that it is for the higher good.
Well, if one of them get in, they better watch him because he's not going to stop. He's going to be on their ass. I mean it. He's going to be on their ass. And so are people like you, okay?
That's right, and people
yeah,
like you.
Well, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, Donald Trump, it's August 16, 2016, right before the election, that his son changed his sign. That's really something, because that means he's going into a new environment, he's not going to be used to it, and mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, he's going to be knocked off. I mean, he's not going to be on his game. I don't think he's on his game now. I really don't.
No, he's not. He's really not. It's
no.
a joke.
Yes,
isn't there something major going on with Pluto and Uranus? Uranus. That,
well, Uranus is in Aries. Uranus is, you know, it's doing its thing in Aries, which means the shooting in Orlando was Uranus in Aries. Whoa, that just came out of the blue. Whoa, all of a sudden you woke up the next morning just like 9/11, and you're going, ouch! Biggest amount of people murdered, you know, And Uranus in Aries, it also rules the guns, you know, big guns that nobody needs. Get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Rid of the guns. Get rid of the guns. And Pluto is in Capricorn. Is that what you said, Uranus and Pluto?
Yes, yes.
Neptune is in Pisces.
Well, it brings
it's
things up
sign.
From the underbelly. Yeah, go ahead.
So the underlying thing with Neptune in Pisces, which is the strongest thing, Neptune, I think, is one of the strongest things that there is in astrology. When you look at, okay, if you look at Mercury, it's the way you talk. It's the scarecrow, okay, and the scarecrow hanging. When it evolves into Uranus, then it becomes like Muhammad Ali. I'm swift like a float like a butterfly and I move. It becomes that. It becomes evolved. So Mercury goes into Uranus. Now Uranus is in Aries right now, and what we're talking about is the younger generation. They instantly know someone for what he is or who he is. They've got it. Then the next one is Venus. Venus is the Tin Man. It's where you rust over and you're afraid to express yourself. It's where you're a kid and you say, this is my toy, and mother grabs it and says, no, you have to share. So Venus is mine, and that's the rust. But then when it evolves into Neptune, it's the more you give away, the more you receive. The more you give out, even if you only have 5 cents, if you give half of it away, 2.5 cents, that would be actually, if you give that away, you'll get it double back. And it works. It works. So that's what Neptune is when it evolves. Pluto, Mars is fight or flight, power over. Your truth, my truth, and cold hard truth. But Plutonic energy is the hot is power. It's in Capricorn right now, and it's in government, and everything's coming up to the surface. Like I said when things come to the surface and the anger and pain and abandonment and terror and all this stuff and how they're politically split in Congress. I mean, if you look at the old movies, and if you even look, and I did his chart, Lin-Manuel, the guy on Broadway that just wrote Alexander Hamilton, guess what? He's a double Capricorn with Mercury in Capricorn. He was Alexander Hamilton, I'm telling you. He was, but all of a sudden he read that book. He read the Alexander Hamilton book, Lynn, and that rap, which is now the young people's rap that they're doing, he makes into an entire show, up for 16 Tonys, and it's all. And you know, the night of the Tonys, they do this whole number with muskets. I want to get into the show so bad I can. I can taste it. Okay. It's so hard to get in. You can't get in for a year. They came out of the stage to do the main number without guns, Kate. They didn't use the muskets they used in the show, symbolic of the Orlando shooting, of the give up, that guns should be given up. Isn't that awesome?
That is really awesome. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
So what I'm saying is that... And also, there were $1,000 tickets we're going for, and Lin-Manuel and them, they got really mad at the producers because they were Skyping, you know, whatever you call it, for tickets, and they were charging people off the wall. They got a scholarship together. They got a big scholarship together to get a high school and college students in for $10.
Oh, that's lovely.
Isn't that the most beautiful thing? But it's great.
It reminds me
awful.
Of the Bernie Sanders influence.
Yeah, yes. And it's on the stage, the way Congress talked to each other in those days. It wasn't that they didn't fight. I have the whole CD, by the way. So I practically have it memorized. I have got the CD. Anyway, but you know when they did that banter in Congress and all, it was yelling and all, but it was in a good way. It was conversation, you know. It was I don't agree with you, but you know, they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, that's the crux of it. Meaningful discussions about everything is the way to go.
Yes, but they put it on the stage now in this show that they're just going crazy now because it's sold out, and all these young people want to get into dance again.
That's wonderful.
The younger generation is being educated in a way different way, and he, if you ever get to see an interview with him, he is off the charts. Lin-Manuel. He's just so talented. So, and you know, he was the one, that he said, I thought I was a nobody in school. Everybody is better than me. Around me, I felt out of place. He was in performing arts. I wasn't as good. I couldn't sing as well. I couldn't dance as well. I couldn't do. And look what happened. He was born to a triple Capricorn with his midheaven in Capricorn, Mercury in Capricorn, to put this show on the stage. And
wow.
There you have it. And if he only does that in his whole lifetime, that's big. But I think he's going to do more. Yes, it's huge.
Now, how can people get a hold of you to get their charts done?
I'm at Mary Sheila Audette, gmail.com. My mind, Kate, you just hit at me with that, and my mind was way.
I know, way out. So Mary Sheila.
It's way over the other side, huh?
Mary Sheila A U D E T.
Yeah, Mary Sheila Audette. @gmail.com, and then I'll do I do a natal chart, I do the natal chart and the life, and I do the soul, because and the God seed, because I believe that the chart is your map. It's your map of what you're supposed to be doing in this lifetime, and I did a chart for Turkey a couple of months ago. And I said to the woman on the phone, I said, well, have you ever had your chart done? She said, everybody in Turkey has their chart done, Sheila. Everybody. I did one for England for this woman's 10-year-old boy, and I said, what did you think? I didn't listen to that, she said. That's his chart. That's his mandala. I put it in his room. If he wants me to hear it, that's fine. If not, he might not listen to it for 5 years, but it'll still be valid, right? See, so in other countries, the art of astrology is taken way more seriously than in the United States of America.
Yes.
It's looked at. And, you know, people mix up tarot cards with astrology. Tarot cards are in the moment. Tarot cards are wonderful, but the question is in the moment and the answer is in the moment. Astrology is your own card. It's your first breath. It's when your soul enters this incarnation. And so it progresses and it gets different challenges, but the God seed, and it's there, and it's always there to be worked on, okay?
Yeah.
That's why there's updates, et cetera, et cetera. And your mom loved astrology. Kitty loved it.
She ever. I'm having flashbacks. Of being at her kitchen table and just talking for hours about astrology.
Oh, wow. It was such a gift. It was such a gift to sit there and talk. And now, Billy Dommel, I don't know if you remember her.
Billy
Dommel,
I do.
Well, I go to see her every Tuesday, just like I did Kitty Loving. She lives up the road. She's amazing. She's 91. And she's the most amazing She's the most amazing, and she goes all over the country. She's in Vermont right now. They take their stones and all this gorgeous stuff that they sell, and they go to Virginia. They go to Vermont. They go everywhere. And I'm going to the astrological convention in February in Baltimore with all the astrologers. I mean, you would never even know she's 91. Well, sorry, she's 92. I went to her birthday party there.
Oh my gosh, he is. Is Greg still around? Is Greg still with us on the plane?
Who?
Her husband?
Oh no. She is. She's married. Not married, but she does with somebody in their 60s. He runs. He is the most wonderful. David. He's the most wonderful man you ever met. He sets up the whole. And then her daughter Cookie helps with the stands at all these places in Vermont and all. They have this big bus. And then they have three big tables, and she sits behind there and does astrological reports. That's fabulous.
Amazing. It is fabulous.
Yes.
Well, good
it
for my
fabulous.
Love, because I did.
I will. I will give her your love, okay?
She was actually the head of a nursing home.
Yes, she was.
And my brother was a cook.
Oh, wow. She's so talented. She sits there at 92 years old and does all the accounting for the store, for the business, she does astrology reports. She put the name and the time. I never wanted to do that because interpretation is my thing, you know.
Yes,
but she does reports, like somebody buys a report for $10 or $20, and it comes from Lenore Cannon or Rob Hand or one of them, and it's all printed up. But people love them, you know. People love them. So,
yeah, they are really.
And way long ago, she said to me, "I'll sell you this thing for almost half price, or I'll even give it to you." And I said, "Billy, that's not what I want to do. What I want to do is interpretation, choreography. That's my thing."
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
I was up at her house, and she said, "You know, I'm so glad you didn't do that." So very funny.
Oh,
but I think
so
of Kitty Loving Shank when I'm with her, and I think of Joanne. I think of them when I'm talking to her every week. Well, not every week, but a lot of weeks on Tuesday for a couple hours. You know, she loves to talk
sweet.
Astrology.
That is
okay?
sweet. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And
okay.
Much love to you, and happy to. And we'll see you next month.
Okay, I'll see you next month. I'll talk to you next month. I love you, Kate. Okay?
Bye.
Bye-bye, Angel.